I'm going to share some of my thoughts I have been having recently as God, what God is working in my life, and I hope to be encouragement to you all. The title is, for this devotional, is Can God Use Me? So let's pray. Lord, thank you for this morning, and thank you that we have this opportunity to gather together with our fellow believers. I pray that you would use my mouth to speak what you would have. I pray that you use me as a channel this morning. Bless your word. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. So, do you ever ask yourself the question, can God use me? Why do you think we ask ourselves this question? Does anybody have any suggestions? Insecurity?
Unworthy?
Any others?
I know my own weaknesses.
Any more? Just ponder that a little bit. Imperfection. That's somewhat what you said. We see imperfection in our life, and we wonder if God can use us. So let's look at Moses. Moses was one who had some times in his life where he felt weak. Let's turn to Exodus 3. Exodus 3, starting at verse 1, and we'll read to 12. Now Moses kept the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law, the priest of Midian, and he led the flock to the backside of the desert, and he came to the mountain of God, even Horeb. And the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a flame of fire, out of the midst of a bush. And he looked, and behold, the bush was burning with fire, and the bush was not consumed. And Moses said, I will go now, turn aside, and see this great sight, why the bush is not burnt. And the Lord saw that. Then the Lord saw that he turned aside to see. And God called out unto him of the midst of the bush, and said, Moses, Moses. And he said, Here am I. And he said, Draw not nigh hither. Put off thy shoes from off thy feet. And for the place whereon thou standest is holy ground. Moreover, he said, I am the God, thy father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. And Moses hid his face, for he was afraid to look upon God. And the Lord said, I have surely seen the affliction of my people which are in Egypt, and have heard their cry by reason of their taskmasters. For I know their sorrows, and I am come down to deliver them out of the hand of the Egyptians, to bring them up out of the land unto a good land and a large land, unto a land flowing with milk and honey, unto the place of Canaan, of the Canaanites, and the Hittites, and the Amorites, and the Perizzites, and the Hivites, and Jebusites. Now therefore, behold, the cry of the children of Israel is come unto me, and I have also seen the oppressions wherewith the Egyptians are oppressed them. Come now, therefore, and I will send thee unto Pharaoh, that thou mayest bring forth my people, the children of Israel, out of Egypt. And Moses said unto God, Who am I, that I should go unto Pharaoh, and that I should bring forth the children of Israel out of Egypt? And God said, certainly, or and he said, I will be with thee. And this shall be a token unto thee that I have sent thee. When thou hast brought forth the people out of Egypt, ye shall serve God upon this mountain. So, in verse 10, God asks Moses to come, and he will send Moses to Pharaoh, that he may bring the children of Israel out of Egypt. God was calling Moses to be used. Verse 11, Moses asked God, who am I that I can do this? I can picture Moses feeling down inside or saying, I feel weak. I'm going to mess up in my speech. I'm inferior to talk before a great king. Do we ever feel that way? I feel that way over and over again. Verse 12, God told him, certainly, I will be with you. God promises him that he will be with Moses. Chapter 3, verse 13. Let's start at verse 13 again and read to verse 22. And Moses said unto God, behold, when I come unto thee, unto the children of Israel, and shall say unto them, the God of your father has sent me unto you. And they shall say unto me, what is his name? What shall I say unto them? And God said unto Moses, I am that I am. And he said, thus shalt thou say unto the children of Israel, I am hath sent you. And God said moreover unto Moses, thus shalt thou say unto the children of Israel, the Lord God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob hath sent you. This is my name forever, and this is my memorial unto all generations. Go and gather the elders of Israel together, and say unto them, the Lord God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, of Isaac, and of Jacob, appeared unto me, saying, I have surely visited you, and have seen that which is done to you in Egypt. And I have said, I will bring you up out of the affliction of Egypt unto the land of the Canaanites, and the Hittites, and the Amorites, and the Perizzites, and the Hivites, and the Jebusites, unto a land flowing with milk and honey. They shall hearken unto thy voice, and thou shalt come, and the elders of Israel, unto the king of Egypt, and ye shall say unto him, the Lord God of the Hebrews has met with us. And now let us go, we beseech thee, a day's journey into the wilderness, that we may sacrifice unto the Lord our God. I am sure that the king of Egypt will not let you go. No, not by a mighty hand. And I will stretch out my hand and smite Egypt with all my wonders, which I will do in the midst thereof. And after that, he will let you go. And I will give this people favor in the sight of the Egyptians. And it shall come unto pass, when ye go, ye shall not go empty, but every woman shall borrow of her neighbor, and her that sojourneth in her house, jewels of silver, and jewels of gold, and raiment, and ye shall put them upon your sons, and upon your daughters, and ye shall spoil the Egyptians. Now moving on, this sort of changes the picture when Moses responds. Verse 4, verse 1. Let's read to verse 17. And Moses answered and said, but behold, they will not believe me, nor hearken unto my voice. For they will say, the Lord hath not appeared unto me. And the Lord said unto him, what is this What is that in thine hand? And he said, A rod. And he said, Cast it forth onto the ground. And he cast it onto the ground, and it became a serpent. And Moses fled from before it. And the Lord said to Moses, Put forth thine hand, and take it by the tail. And he put forth his hand, and called it, and it became a rod in his hand, that they may believe that the Lord God of their fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob, hath appeared unto thee. And the Lord said furthermore unto him, Put now thine hand into thy bosom, and he put his hand into his bosom. And when he took it out, behold, his hand was leprous as snow. And he said, Put thine hand into thy bosom again. And he put his hand into his bosom again, and pulled it out from his bosom, and behold, it was turned again as his other flesh. And it shall come to pass, they will not believe thee, neither hearken unto thy voice, unto the voice of the first sign, that they will believe the voice of the later sign. And it came to pass, if they will not believe also these two signs, neither hearken unto thy voice, what thou shalt take of the water of the river, thou shalt take of the water of the river and pour upon it upon the dry land, and the water which thou takest out of the river shall become blood upon dry land. And Moses saith unto the Lord, O my Lord, I am not eloquent, neither heretofore, nor since thou hast spoken unto thy servant. But I am slow of speech and of a slow tongue. And the Lord said unto him, Who hath made man's mouth, or who maketh the dumb, or the deaf, or the seen, or the blind? Have not I the Lord? Now therefore go, and I will be with thy mouth, and teach thee what thou shalt say. And he saith, O my Lord, send, I pray thee, by the hand of him who thou wilt send. And the anger of the Lord was kindled against Moses, and said, Is not Aaron the Levite thy brother? I know he can speak well. And also, behold, he cometh forth to meet thee. And when he seeth thee, he will be glad in his heart. And thou shalt speak unto him, and put words in his mouth, and I will be thy mouth, and with his mouth, and he will teach you what ye shall do. And he shall be thy spokesman to the people, and he shall be to thee instead of a mouth, and thou shalt be to me instead of God. Be to him instead of God. And thou shalt take this rod in thine hand, wherewith thou shalt do these signs. So God shows Moses all of these signs and tells him what he is supposed to do. In verse 10, Moses responds and says how he is not eloquent to do this. He is slow of speech. Verse 11, God reminds Moses who made him and asks him, Who made you to speak? Who made you to see or able to? Yeah. God is reminding Moses that God is the creator of him. Verse 12, God tells Moses to go, and God says he will be with him. So we can see there that Moses felt inadequate and it felt like not eloquent to do this great task. But God said, go, And then he did through Aaron. But God used Moses, even though he was felt ineloquent to do his task, an inferior. Another person I'm not going to look at this morning is David. David had many, many trials in his life. He was a man after God's own heart, and God used him, but he had many failures. And I'm sure many times he felt inadequate to do his to be God's servant in the way he was. But God used David in many different ways. I was going to take time to look at Elijah, and after, I don't think I have time to do that, but just after he came through the where he was sacrificed, or where the 450 prophets of Baal were, and he had that great competition to who is God. He had a great spiritual victory. God was using him tremendously, and then he goes and gets, after the event, he fled a day's ways away in the wilderness and sat under a tree and wanted to die. He was discouraged. He got a letter, I think, or before he went there, I think he got a messenger from the, was it Bathsheba? The queen there. My point is that Elijah was used by God, but he had his times when he was down, he felt inferior, and wanted to die even. But God sent an angel to him then later and encouraged him, and he continued to work in God's kingdom. Now I'm going to share briefly on some things in my own life that I feel things I process and then I feel inadequate because I feel like it's such a high calling to live a Christian life. Sometimes after I go through a week of Bible school or hear a stirring message or something, or if I'm going through challenges in my life, I can see God working in my life. I can see Him speaking to me. And I ask Him to help me live out what He has spoken to me. That's my heart to do. And I want to be effective in His kingdom. And I want to be a person that God is able to use. Sometimes I'll be at work or doing a monotonous job, or I'll be in bed, I can't fall asleep or whatever. And I'm trying to process life and make sense and thinking about how I respond to pressures or wondering where my heart is or wondering why I have the passions I have in life and if they're good and right, trying to understand why I do the things I do and make the decisions I make. Just sort of processing life, and I see past events in my life that I think and wonder, is this the way God wants me to live? And am I the type of person God is looking for that He can use and build His kingdom here on earth? But then I see imperfections in my life and failure, and again wonder, can God even use me? Now switching thoughts slightly, when the world looks at us, they should be able to say, yes, that is what a Christian man is supposed to look like, or that is what a Christian woman is supposed to look like, or that is what the way Christians should relate, or that's the way they should dress, or the world should say, that is the way a Christian should look. That is how family is supposed to be when they see us. And we all are striving to be perfection. Striving for perfection. And when seeing this, sometimes the overwhelming amount of things come to me that I could either do better in, or it's past mistakes or whatever. And I feel weak, like I can't live up to this calling. I don't think I'll take time to look at it, but I was going to look at Paul when he was talking about his thorn in the flesh. He actually glories in his infirmities. That's the challenge. I don't know that I attain to that. He besought the Lord for to take his infirmities away. But God says unto him, why don't we just turn there? 2 Corinthians 12, verse 9, I think it is. Second Corinthians 12, verse 9. This is after Paul was talking about his thorn in the flesh. And he said unto me, after Paul is, you know, talking about this, and he says he besought the Lord three times that he might depart from me. But God said in verse 9, my grace is sufficient for thee. My strength is made perfect in your weakness. So God's strength is made perfect for us when we find ourselves in weakness. And God's strength is actually made perfect in weakness, it says. And God used Paul in tremendous ways, even though he had some imperfections and his infirmity in the flesh. I'm not sure what that was. So, when we feel weak and near inferior, God's strength is made perfect in us. And even though we feel weak, God can still use us. And that's encouraging to me. Let's turn to Psalm 103. I'm just going to read the whole psalm here. Psalm 103. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. Who forgiveth all thine iniquities, who healeth all thy disease, who hath redeemed thy life from destruction, who crowneth thee with loving kindness and with tender mercies, who satisfieth thy mouth with good things, so that thy youth is renewed like eagles. The Lord executeth righteousness and judgments for all that are oppressed. He made his ways known unto Moses, his acts unto the children of Israel. The Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger and plenteous in mercy. That verse there is outstanding to me. The Lord is gracious, slow to anger, and he's plenteous in mercy. Verse 9, he will not always chide, neither will he keep his anger forever. He hath not dealt with us after our sins, but rewarded us according to our iniquities. For as the heaven is high above the earth, so great is his mercy to them that fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far hath he removed our transgressions from us. Like as the father pitieth his children, so the Lord pitieth them that fear him. For he knoweth our frame, he remembers that we are dust. As for man, his days are as grass, as a flower of the field, so he flourisheth. For the wind passeth over it and is gone, and the place thereof shall know it no more. But the mercy of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting upon them that fear him, and his righteousness unto children's children. To such as keep his covenant and to those that remember his commandments to do them. The Lord hath prepared his throne in the heavens, and his kingdom ruleth over all. Bless the Lord, ye his angels, and excel in strength, that do his commandments, hearkening unto the voice of his word. Bless ye the Lord, all ye his hosts, ye ministers of his, that do his pleasure. Bless the Lord and all his works in all places of his dominion. Bless the Lord, O my soul. So God knows us. God knows our frame. God knows that we are dust. But if we allow him, he can use us. And he will use us. He fills us with his strength. And he leads us. We are dust. And we can't be a perfect Christian on our own. And we can't. We can't. But God, in his strength, comes and fills us. And then we can. In spite of our failures. Let's turn yet to Psalm 139. O Lord, thou hast searched me and known me. Thou knowest my downsitting and my uprising. Thou understandest my thoughts afar off. Thinking earlier in verse 2 here, thou knowest my downsitting, my uprising, and thou understandest my thoughts afar off. That's encouraging to me because sometimes I don't even know my own thoughts in my own heart. But God understands, and I can trust him to lead me. Verse 3, thou compassest my path and my lying down, and art acquainted with all my ways. God knows us better than we know ourselves. And I'm thankful for that. Verse 4, for there is not a word in my tongue, but lo, O Lord, thou knowest it altogether. If I can say, but thou knowest it better than I know myself. Verse 5, thou hast beset me behind and before, and laid thine hand upon me. Such knowledge is too high, is too wonderful for me. It is high. I cannot attain unto it. Whither I go from thy spirit, or whether I flee from thy presence, if I ascend into the heaven, thou art there. If I make my bed in hell, behold, thou art there. And if I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea, even there shall thy hand lead me, and thy right hand shall hold me. If I say, surely the darkness shall cover me, even the night shall be light about me. Yea, the darkness hideth not from thee. But the night shineth as a day, and the darkness and the light, and are both alike unto thee. For thou hast possessed my reins, thou hast covered me in my mother's womb. I will praise thee, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are thy works, and that my soul knoweth right well. My substance was not hid from thee when I was made in secret, and curiously wrought in the lowest parts of the earth. Thine eyes did see my substance, yet being unperfect, and in thy book all my members are written, which in continuance were fashioned as if there was none of them. How precious also are thy thoughts unto me, O God. How great is the sum of them. If I should count them, there are more than number than the sand. When I wake, I am still with thee. Surely thou wilt slay the wicked, O God. Depart from me, ye therefore, ye bloody men. For they speak against thee wickedly, and thine enemies take thy name in vain. Do not I hate them, O Lord, that hate thee, and am not I grieved with those that rise up against thee. I hate them with perfect hatred. I count them my enemies. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts. And see if there be any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. So may you allow God to lead you and allow him to use you, even though sometimes you feel weak and feel like you can't do it because it's not you, it's God. And if you allow him to use you, he can use you even though you're weak. It's God in us that we can be used. In closing, can we sing the song number 506, if you would lead it, Andreas? And let your heart ponder these words in light of what we looked at this morning. May God bless you.
How I praise thee, precious Savior, that thy love laid hold on me. Thou hast saved and cleansed and filled me, that I might thy channel be.